But this morning I'd like to read from Matthew, the 16th chapter and the 17th verse. Please don't forget about ladies' prayer this Tuesday and also trunk or treat this Friday night. We're going to have a great time serving our community again. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Everybody say, shall not prevail against it. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now, I don't believe that this scripture just specifically goes just for the Apostle Peter, but I believe it goes for everybody that's in this room today. That God sees something inside of you that is bigger than you. He sees something inside of you that you don't even see in yourself. That when he looks at you, that he sees something awesome and beautiful. Something that he can build a church upon. Amen? And he looked at the Apostle Peter and he said, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail." Sometimes it's easy for us to look at it and think, well, you don't understand. There's no way, there's no possible way that we can have victory or that I can have victory in my life. I've never seen gates attack anybody. It says the gates of hell shall not prevail. That means if we're at hell's gates, that means we're on the offensive. That means that we're the ones going to where they are. That's what you've got to understand. I'm a child of the King. I'm anointed of God. I am called of God. I've got the hand of God upon my life. I've got him living on the inside of me. And if I'm anointed of God, there isn't anything I can't overcome. There's not anything I can't do. There's not any victory that I cannot have in Jesus' name. Amen. It says in 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse, it says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Beloved, if your heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things which are pleasing in his sight." Lord Jesus, I would ask that your spirit would move and flow in this place today, oh God. Lord, that you would reach down and that you would touch your people, oh God, that you would empower us today. Lord, that there would be something inside of us that when we leave this place today, that we can leave with our shoulders back and our heads up and say, you know what? My God wants to use me for the glory of his kingdom. Lord, that your spirit would move and flow in this house today, Lord Jesus. In your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. The scripture that we read about in 1 John, the 3rd chapter and the 20th verse says that if our heart condemns us. You've got to understand this morning that not only is the devil out against you, but your own nasty flesh doesn't like to have anything to do with the presence of God. That your old nasty flesh will think up things and try to create condemnation in your own life, because the last place that this flesh wants to be is in the presence of God. Because when we get in the presence of God, that means this flesh has to change. That means this flesh has to be different. That means this flesh is put in a place that there's going to be an opportunity for there to be a blessing and a touch and a change in our lives. We can think of all kinds of reasons not to come to church, and it doesn't have one thing to do with Satan's temptation. We can think of all kinds of things that we'd rather be doing that doesn't have anything to do with Satan. It's got to do with this old nasty flesh that we wear. There's something about it that when we begin to move towards God, that this old flesh rises up, because it's something about being crucified with Christ and yet I live. This flesh wants no part of crucifixion. It wants no part of dying out to itself to become more like Christ. And so it's going to do everything that it can to fight against us and try to keep us from becoming what it is that God wants us to be. The scripture says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knoweth all things. It says that there's something about it that if we have confidence towards God, whatsoever we ask of him, we shall receive of him. That when there's a confidence inside of you about who your God is and what he wants to do in your life, there's a confidence that says, you know what? I'm about to pray for somebody that's sick and they are going to be healed. I'm about to talk to somebody about Jesus and they're going to come to church and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That I'm going to about to do something in the kingdom of God that I've never done before, but God's going to use me for the glory of his kingdom. There's something about it that when you've got confidence towards God and you've got confidence and understand, you know what? Devil, you're a liar. I might have had a past, but it's under the blood and I've been forgiven. Devil, you've said that there's some things that are wrong in my life, but you know what? I'm a whole lot better off today than I was when I came to God. I'm a work in progress. I'm doing better than I've been, and I'm going to be used of God. Amen. See, Satan wants you to stay exactly where you're at. He wants you to focus on everything that's wrong. He wants you to stay discredited. And Brother Willis, I can't be used to God. I can't do that. I've got things in my life. I've got things that other people know about. I've got mistakes that I've made. I've got faults and failures and things that I know about. Have you ever gone to pray for somebody and you're going over to and you're like, I can't pray for them. I've got too many things in my own life. How am I supposed to help them when I got so much going on in my own life? You see somebody on the job and they ask about God or your church or something, and you're all fired up just for a minute, man. I can't talk to them about God. I'm not even living right myself. I've got too many struggles in my own life. How am I supposed to be a witness to them when I've got so many things that are going on in my own world that are all messed up? See, what you've got to understand this morning is that when we think that when God looks at us, he looks at us for everything that is wrong in our lives. He looks at us for all of our faults and all of our mistakes and this mistake and that mistake and this failure and that failure and what's wrong with you here and what's wrong with you there. But you've got to understand that when God began to look at people in the Bible, he looked at Gideon. Gideon was hiding for his life on the other side of town, afraid of everybody, afraid of his own shadow, and God looked at him and said, thou art a mighty man of valor. You see, there's something about what God sees and what we see that are completely different. There's something about what an almighty, awesome God who created your innermost being, what he knows about you and what you know about yourself can be two totally different stories. What we can say is what I've seen in my past, and God says, but I can see your future. What we can say is I see who I am right now at this moment and all of my faults and all of my weaknesses and everything that's wrong. And God says, you don't understand. I see somebody that is a mighty man of valor. I see somebody upon a rock upon which a church can be built, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Not maybe prevail. Maybe on good days we got a chance. But he said a rock upon which that the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen. When he looked at Abraham, he didn't see a man that didn't have any children. He saw the father of many nations. Amen. When he looked at Moses, he didn't see some shepherd on the backside of nowhere that didn't have the right speech or be able to do it. He saw somebody that could lead millions out of Egypt. When he looked at David, he didn't just see some little boy out in the field playing with a slingshot and a harp, but he saw the next king of Israel. And what you've got to understand when he looks at you, he's not looking at everything that's wrong and not right and all, but he sees something awesome that can be used in the kingdom of God, that if they'll just give me a chance, if they'll just step out in faith, if they'll just lay some stuff down, there's no telling what could be done in our lives. Amen. He looked at Peter and the word, he looked at Simon and he told him, he said, Simon Barjona, blessed are thou among men. He says, from thence day forth, he said, I'm going to call you Peter, for upon this rock You see, the difference between the name Simon and the name Peter was completely different. The name Simon meant reed. It was something that y'all know a little bit about reeds around here. I was talking to somebody the other day that they got a nice duck pond and they hunt on it and it's filled full of reeds. And he said he's going to have to get some Roundup and something, go out there and get rid of them because his ducks doesn't have anywhere to land anymore. It's hurting his hunting. And so a reed is something, it's not strong. If the water flows this way, a reed's going to flow that way. It's just going to go with the flow. You can't do a lot with a reed. It's not strong. It can be snapped in half and be broken. If the wind blows from the north, it's gonna bend with the wind from the north. If the wind decides to blow from the south, it's gonna bend and it's gonna blow with the wind from the south. You can't build anything on a reed. There's nothing stable about a reed. It's just a reed. And he looked at Simon and he told him, he said that I'm changing your name to Peter, which meant rock. That's something that I can build a church upon. You see, we like to think that he was this loud, boisterous kind of guy that was always in trouble and mixing it up, and he was that was his personality. But the thing that is when you get put to the fire, the real you comes out. When the test comes, when the fire is on, when the pressure's on, the real you is the one that shows up. Not the one that we can show to everybody else. Not the one that we can come to church and say, look at me. Not the one that can be out and do all of this stuff. But when the pressure's on, that's who we really are. And you look at the apostle as at one moment we see him looking at Jesus saying, I will die for you. I will go to war with you. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll be the one that'll go to prison. I don't care. And when all of the soldiers show up, he's the one with a sword in his hand as he takes a swing at a man's head and misses him and just chops an ear off. And Jesus picks it up and puts it back on the man. We see this man that is bold and brash. He's ready to live for God. He's ready to do whatever Jesus wants him to do. He's ready to go the distance. He's ready to die for him at that moment. But we catch him a few short minutes later as he stands in a courtyard and a little lady comes up to him and says, hey, don't I recognize you? No, you don't know who I am. You don't recognize me. You've never seen me before. Well, we see him at one moment as he's a rock upon which a church can be built. And he says, I'm here. Whatever you need, I'll do it. And the next moment, we see him cowering down from a little servant girl. And again, she comes to him. And you don't know me. You don't understand. You've got me mistaken for somebody else. And again, a lady comes to him. And I recognize you as another woman comes. And yes, you are one of those that walk with Jesus. And you're speech betrayeth you, she says, bereath you. And he looks and he, no, I'm not. Let me cuss. Let me act like the world. Let me do everything that I can fit in to prove to you that I don't know anything about this Jesus. At one moment, he's a rock. At one moment, he's ready to go to war. At one moment, he's a reed just going with the flow. He doesn't want to stand out. He just wants to blend in. He just wants to be like everybody else. He doesn't want to cause any ripples. He doesn't want to cause any trouble. He just wants to go with the flow. I just want to fit in with everybody else. I'll tell jokes like everybody else. I'll talk on the job like everybody else. I'll cuss like everybody else. Just let me go with the flow. Just don't bring me up. Don't look at me. Don't expect anything. I'm just gonna be here going with the flow. We see him as he stands on the day of Pentecost and he preaches with boldness and thousands receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We see him as he stands in Cornelius's house, as he's standing there, as he preaches to them, the entire household of Cornelius receives the baptism of the Holy Ghost while he preaches with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. We see this man that is a leader. We see this man that is a rock upon which a church is being built. We see a man that is strong and bold, a man that can stand and lead and guide and preach and direct. And then James, the preacher in Jerusalem, shows up. And James looks at him and he says, this isn't for everybody else. It's only for the Jews. And this man that is a rock wilts one more time into a reed as he packs his bags and he goes back home. You hardly read of anything of the apostle from that moment on until we find him towards the end of his life. It was like things just begin to change, that there was something that happened. We read where Paul even gets in his face and says that it's your fault that it's this way, that there was a moment in time that it wasn't the rock that we'd seen before. We find him at the end of his life as he is standing there on we find him back in Rome to the people that God called him to originally. To the people of the Gentiles, as he's now at the end of his life in Rome, trying to start a church in Rome and build a church. At one moment, we see a man that is strong, a man that is willing to live for God, a man that says, I'll do whatever it takes. And the next moment, we see a reed that's just kind of glowing with the flow. At one moment, we see somebody that comes to an altar and says, I want to be everything that God wants me to be. I want to do everything that God wants me to do. But somehow, by Thursday, all of a sudden, it's just back to the same old thing. That all 1 month, it's a revival. 1 month, it's we're going on. It's 1 month I'm going to take my family to church. It's 1 month I'm going to be what God wants me to be. And by the next month, it's just trying to fit in all of that preacher business, all of that talking, all of that stuff. We just want to go with the flow, and we just want to blend in and be like everybody else. It's a problem that we all have. At one moment, we're ready to do something awesome for God, and then we find ourselves just going with the flow. At one moment, we find ourselves making promises to God, and the next moment, we find ourselves just trying to blend in with all of the other reeds and just do what everybody else is trying to do. And it's at that moment in time that Satan points and says, look, that's all you are, and that's all you'll ever be. You're just a reed. You're not anything that God can use. You're not anything that God can build a church upon. You're not anything that God can use for the glory of his kingdom. You're just something going with the flow. You're just a reed in the midst of all of this stuff. There's no value to you. You can't be sold for anything. There's nothing that you have to offer to the church at all or to God. You're nothing. There's nothing there. Just something that just goes with the flow. If Satan can convince you that you're worth nothing, he's got you exactly where he wants you to be. But because God saw you so valuable that he climbed on a cross and died for you. And if whatever God wants you to be, Satan is going to try to convince you the exact opposite of what God has for your life. If he's whispering in your ear, it's the exact opposite of what God wants to do. If he's saying God doesn't want to use you, it's because God wants to use you. If he's saying that you've got too many mistakes in your life, it's because God's saying, hey, you know what? You've got some experience to help somebody else with, and I want to use you. There's something about it that when Satan begins to talk and he tries to convince us that there's nothing to offer and there's nothing there, he's got us exactly where he wants us to be. I can't be involved in the kingdom. I can't do that. I can't witness. I can't help them. I just can't do that. I don't have it. I don't have they've got it going on over there, man. They've got the attitude. They've got the confidence. They've got the look. They've got the voice. I don't have all that. But God gave you something that's different than whatever somebody else has. You might not be the best singer in this church, but you might be the best at something else in this church. No, you say, well, I don't have a place in the kingdom. God didn't create you not to have a place in the kingdom. He created you because of the kingdom. And see, you've got to understand, you know what? My God's got something awesome for my life. My God wants to do something great in my life. The world says you're just a reed. Satan says you're just a reed. But somewhere inside, there's something in the distance that's crying out, you're a rock upon which I can build a church. Everybody else says, but I know your past, but there's something in the distance crying out that says you're anointed and you're called and that there's purpose on your life and that you're more than just a reed, that there's something awesome here. I don't know what happened. We don't know a lot about the end part of Peter's life, that all the things that he went through. History tells a story of how that he must have been sitting in his prison cell as he sat there in the pitch black. We don't know exactly how long he'd been there. He'd been trying to build a church in Rome, and now he's in prison. And here he is, an old man, a prophecy that was spoken over him when he was a young man, when Jesus looked at him, when he said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "There's going to come a day that you're going to lead you places that you do not want to go." And as he sat there, and he must have thought about the last words that Jesus spoke into his life, as he heard the doors open down the hall, and he heard footsteps of not just men shuffling, but soldiers marching as they opened the door. And they said, "Today's your day, old man," as he stood to his feet and held out his hands as they chained him. And he began to walk down that aisle into the dark. They led him out into a field, and they brought him, and as he tried to make a sense of what he was looking at and what he could see, as the sun was bright, and he'd been in a dungeon for we don't know how long, and finally he began to make sense of what he was looking at, and there was a cross that was standing out there in the distance of the field. Something shuddered down him as he turned and he looked at the soldier, and the soldier said, "What's wrong, old man? You afraid of dying?" And, "No, I'm not afraid of dying, but can you give an old man one last dying request?" "What is it, old man?" He said, "Can you take that cross and can we dig it up and can we turn it upside down?" He said, "What difference does it make? You're going to die today whether your head's up or your head down. It doesn't make a difference." He said, "Yeah, but you don't understand. My Jesus was crucified like that. And I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Jesus. You don't understand. This is bigger to me than just dying. I'm not worried about the dying part. I'm not worthy to die like my Jesus died. Just please, just give me one last request and let's turn it upside down." And I don't know what happens when somebody dies. We've all got ideas of it. There's a story in the Bible of Lazarus and the rich man, and Lazarus went straight into Abraham's bosom and the rich man went straight to hell. I don't know what it might have been like when the apostle opened his eyes and he took a step and there were streets of gold and he began to walk. I don't know what that's going to be like. I can't even imagine the excitement of what that's going to be like. Sister Darlene, I bet it's going to be better than Disneyland, hands down. And you know, it's going to be something that you just, as you walk on the streets, I imagine he was excited. He ran and he jumped and he sang and he ran and he saw Jesus and all of the stuff that was going on there in heaven and the things that were going on and all of the stuff that he was involved in, that I made it. I didn't think I was going to make it. There were days that I didn't think I was going to make it. There were days that I was I was weak more days than I was strong. I was messed up more days than I should have been. I fell flat on my face more days than I should have. I wish I would have done better. I wish I would have done more. I don't even know how I got here. I don't even understand why God would look at me the way that he does. And as he walked around heaven and looked at different sights and different things, there's a scripture in Revelations that comes to mind, Revelations 21 and 12. The scripture says, "And it had a great wall and high, and the 12 gates, and the 12 angels, and the names that were thereon, which were the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel, and on the east gate, and on the north gate, and on the south gate, and on the west gates. And the walls of the city had 12 foundations, and in them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." I wonder what it was like as Peter began to walk around heaven, as he looked and he walked to the gates and he saw where the name Judah and Dan were scribed on the side of these big gates, and he saw where Reuben and Benjamin were inscribed in different parts of the city. And as he walked, as he passed by foundations, as he looked upon that foundation and he followed it to the top, and he saw the name James there and he smiled. "James, that's my friend, man. That's awesome. I'm glad glad that he got that, but I don't deserve something like that. As he walked to the next one, as he looked up, and there's John, and oh, John, man, John was the beloved man. He was close to Jesus. I can see why John would have a pillar named after him like that. As he moved on and saw Andrew and Thaddeus and all of the different sights that there were to see and all of that. And then all of a sudden, as he walked through the streets, he came to a foundation, a pillar, as he walked to it. He followed it up the side of it as he looked, and all of a sudden he saw a name up there that he didn't expect to receive. He didn't expect to have one named after him. He didn't expect to have one with his name on it. But as he looked to the top of it, it didn't say Reed. It didn't say weakness. It didn't say somebody that failed more often than not. It didn't say somebody that struggled more than they should have. It said a rock upon which God can build a church. As he looked up that pillar and saw that it said the apostle Peter on the top of it. God didn't look down and say, I see a reed, somebody that's weak, somebody that can't be used. But he said, I see a rock upon which I can build a church. I imagine there was something inside of Peter that rose up as he ran over to the edge of heaven and said, devil, you lied to me. You ruined too many days of my life by telling me that I was weak and that I was nothing. You told me that I was a reed and that I could never be used of God. You told me that I would never be able to do what God called me to do, but I'm serving notice on you. You called me a reed, but my God saw a rock. You saw a reed. You called me that I said that I was weak and that I was nothing and that I couldn't do anything in the kingdom of God, but my God saw something that a church could be built upon. There's some people in this room that you need to quit listening to all the lies. You need to quit listening to all the junk. You need to quit looking in the rearview mirror at all the things that happened of yesterday. You know what? If my God sees something awesome in me, then I choose to believe that rather than all the junk. If my God's called me to do something, I choose to believe that rather than all of the junk. There's some things in my life that aren't where they need to be, but you know what? I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm getting back up. I'm getting back in the mix. I'm going to be what God has called me to be. But I'm a reed. I just go with the flow. You don't understand. This is the way it's been for a long time. You don't understand. It doesn't matter how long you've been where you are. It doesn't take long for God to pull you out of the miry clay and set you on the rock to stay. It doesn't take God to say, you don't understand. There are things inside of you that you don't even know about yet. And if you'll let me, I'll make something awesome out of your life. If you'll let me, I'm going to do something great. If you're willing to let I'm going to do. See, you don't understand. The world said Gideon was nobody, but I saw a mighty man. The world said that Abraham didn't have any children, but I saw the father of many nations. The world said he's just a shepherd boy out in the middle of nowhere, but I saw the next king of Israel. The world said he's just somebody out there leading sheep in the middle of nowhere with a past and a history for killing people, but I saw somebody that could lead millions into the promised land. See, you've got to understand, if Satan's telling you something, God's got a whole different story for you. If Satan's saying something, God's got a whole different story for what he wants to do in your life. But if my heart condemns me not, then I have confidence towards God. And whatsoever I ask of him. Some of you need to start understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Some of you need to start understanding, you know what, I made a stumble, but you know what, I'm a child of the King and I'm anointed of God. I might have fallen flat on my face, but I'm getting back up again, and I'm going to allow God to use me for the glory of his kingdom. My story has not changed. I've still got anointing and calling on my life. I'm not a reed, I'm a rock upon which God can build a church. Devil, you're a liar. You've told me I've messed up too many times. I'm anointed of God, and I'm a rock upon which God can build a church. When he called me, he knew what I was capable of. He knew my faults, and he knew my weaknesses, and it didn't change the fact that he called me and still wants to use me. When he called me and filled me full of the Holy Ghost, he knew everything that was wrong with me, and it didn't change the fact that he still had a future and plans for my life. As we all stand this morning, as the musicians come, devil, I hate the devil. I hate him. And some of us will listen to him far quicker than we'll ever listen to what God's trying to say in our lives. We'll feel the presence of God and we'll just shut it down and just be like, there's no way, it can't happen. There's no way that God wanna, and Satan, he can get to talking and we can just sit back and soak it in and listen. And you're right, I believe that. That's the truth. That's, man, I did that. I really did do that, didn't I? And I really do look this way, and I've really made, you know, you're making a lot of sense. And before it's all said and done, God's saying, you don't understand. I don't see you for where you're at right now at this moment. I see you for what you're going to be. Why do you think Satan fights you so hard? Why do you think Satan has done everything he can to tear you down? It's not because you're where you're at right now at this moment. It's because of where you're going. It's not because of the relationship that you might have with Jesus at this moment. It's because of the relationship that you're going to have with Jesus. That's what he's worried about. He understands who you are. It's not possible, preacher. Pastor, I've got too much stuff in my life. God says, you let me worry about that. Gideon, you can't use me. I'm from the least family on the backside of nowhere of nothing. Nobody, you don't understand. There's no way. And God says, you let me worry about that. You just get up and come on. There's some people in this room that when you leave this place this morning, you need to leave with your shoulders back and your head up. You need to leave saying, you know what? I've got something that God wants to do in my life. Not the person sitting next to me's life, not somebody down the pew's life, not somebody's life as somebody else in this church, but there's something that God's going to do in my life. There's a calling and purpose that he has on my life. Not somebody else's life, no, but I'm a rock upon which he can build a church. He chose me for such a time as this, at this moment in time, to be in this church, at this place, for a reason, not by accident, not just because you went with the flow and slid in, not just because it's something that you've done for a long time, but because there is something inside of you that God says, I see something big. I see something awesome. I see something of a rock upon which I can build a church. Lord Jesus, I ask you right now, that your spirit would begin to move and flow in this place, oh God. Lord, this place is full of good people. People that love you, people that want to be saved, people that want to do your will, but life and everything else is just said that we're reeds. I'll never be any more than this. I just hope to be here when it's all said and done. I just hope to still be standing when the fight's over. I just hope that the storm isn't too big. I just hope a hurricane doesn't come through and blow me away. I just hope that I can make it and endure to the end. God's saying, you don't understand. I didn't call you to just get by. I didn't call you to just go. I called you to be victorious. I called you because you can do it. I called you because there's something awesome inside of you that you might not even see in yourself yet. I called you because you're a rock upon which I can build your family. I can build your marriage. I can build your children. And I can build a church upon. These these altars are open this morning. There are some people in this room that you need to come to an altar this morning, and you need to serve notice on the devil today. You need to let him know, devil, you have lied to me too many times. You have told me that I'm a reed. You've told me that I just go with the flow. You've told me that I'll never be what God wants me to be, but I'm serving notice on you this morning. I'm a rock. You say that I've got too many faults, but I'm letting you know I'm a rock. You say that there's no way that I can ever be what God's called me to be, but I'm letting you know that I'm a rock. You say that there's too much stuff in my past, but for whatever reason, there's a God in heaven that sees me for so much more than that. As we begin together in this morning, as we come as a family, there's some people in this room, you've got too much anointing to allow Satan to keep lying to you. You've got too much ability to allow Satan to keep reminding you of yesterday. You've got too much calling on your life to just sit back and keep listening to all the lies. And God says, no, you don't understand. I see somebody that I can use for the glory of my kingdom. I see somebody that's going to do something awesome in the kingdom of God. I see somebody that can stand in the midst of a storm and be a pillar. I see somebody that can weather whatever comes their way and not be moved. I see somebody that can pray people through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I see somebody that can be used to teach Bible studies. I see somebody that can preach sermons. I see somebody that can teach Bible studies in Sunday school. I see somebody that can be used of God. I see somebody that the presence of God rests upon their lives and that they can be used for the glory of his kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you're a liar. Devil, you've told me too many times, but I'm letting you know this morning. My God sees something that can be used. You've told me my past is too great, but I'm letting you know this morning. My God sees somebody that has something.
I've been changed.
Is a liar. He's the father of lies, and he's good at it. Quit believing his mess. You need to get up every day. You know what? I'm a child of the King. I'm not perfect. I may not have it all together, but you know what? I'm going to be used of God today. That next time you feel that feeling, you go to talk to somebody about Jesus, and that old condemnation comes over you. Devil, get behind me. Get behind me. Devil, get. Next time you go to pray for somebody, I can't pray for them. I don't have. Devil, get behind me. You know what? I've got this. I'm anointed. I'm called. I'm a rock upon which God can build a church. I'm not a nothing and a nobody. I'm not some reed. I'm not some. No, I am something that God has called for such a time as this. Amen?
Yes.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. We preach Wednesday night about being blessed and highly favored. You're blessed and highly favored. You're anointed. You're a child of the King. Quit looking down on yourself. I'm not perfect. None of us are. Get up. Get your head up. Get your shoulders back. I'm marching on. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. I'm going on. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Ladies' prayer, Tuesday morning, 10 o'clock. Wednesday night, we're going to be having church around here in Surge and Salt, and we're going to be having the Quake House. Bring a friend. Next Friday night, we're going to be doing the trunk or treat. We need all the help we can get. If you're not signed up, please sign up. It's easy. All you got to do is stand by a trunk and throw candy at people. And might have to do that if you stay at home. So you might as well come and be a part and do it with us. We'll have a lot of fun. And I'm sure there'll be some people looking pretty crazy and kind of dumb. But we're going to have a lot of fun. I might be one of them. Who knows? You never know what my wife will have planned for me. I ended up, that guy off Mary Poppins one year, it was just something. It was, yeah. She's probably already got her brain going now. But we're going to have a great time and a lot of fun. Next Sunday, we're going to have revival and a great time. Be here in Jesus' name. You're dismissed. If I have not got to meet you yet, I know there's still some people. You sneak out early and you're probably already gone. Please let me catch you before you go today.